The reading is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Michael. Philippians is an amazing letter, isn't it? It's fantastic. It's really encouraging. So let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we pray that as we reflect together on what you have to say to us today on this part of Paul's letter, that you would help us to really hear exactly what it is that you want us to hear from you. Lord, as we hear words this morning, we pray you would direct the words from you to our hearts and help us to discern what you want our next steps to be as your church and individually ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So, during the coronation service, we prayed that the king would, by the anointing of God's grace, be the defender of the faith and the protector of the people. That's quite a tall order, isn't it? Even for one who's been training for his job for over 70 years. When I was ordained, I was asked to swear an oath of allegiance to the Queen. I had to say, I, Paul Walker, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, her heirs and successors. Of course, when Adam joins us in just over a couple of months' time, just under a couple of months' time actually now, he'll be asked to do the same to the King. It sounds quite solemn, doesn't it? But that's nothing compared with what the Bishop said during the ordination service itself. He said, remember always with thanksgiving that the people among whom you will minister are made in God's image and likeness. In serving them, you are serving Christ himself, before whom you will be called to account. You can't bear this weight of this calling in your own strength, but only by the grace and power of God. Pray, therefore, that your heart may be daily enlarged and your understanding of the scriptures enlightened. Pray earnestly for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sounds quite heavy, doesn't it? And it's the one part of that whole service that always comes to my mind when I hear the words about an ordination or think about mine. It's a real privilege to be able to help lead part of God's church. But if you're not ordained and you think you might have got away with it, then think again, because in 1 Peter chapter 2 we read, but you, that's all of us, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. While you may not have surrendered your life to be ordained in the Church of England, if you've said yes to Jesus, you've still surrendered your life to love God and to love your neighbour. Like King Charles, we are called to a life of obedience to God and to service. Two things that St. Paul knew really well. Paul had planted the church in Philippi with his friends Silas and Timothy in about 50 AD. Philippi was a city in a Roman province of Macedonia. At this time, Paul was most likely under house arrest in Rome, waiting for his appeal to be heard by the emperor. Paul was thanking his friends in Philippi for the gifts that they'd sent to him. Through their gifts, his friends were showing practically that they were partners with Paul in making Jesus known. In his letter, Paul wanted to encourage his friends to continue growing in their journey of faith. In his troubles, the church had come to his help. They'd given sacrificially to God's cause in supporting Paul as he suffered for his faith. We see many examples of that today, don't we, in the church, especially through charities such as Open Doors, which exists to support the persecuted church in countries where people are not only imprisoned, but killed for their faith. The Philippians' friendship with Paul was deep. They had been the only church in the area who had given gifts. By saying he didn't need the gift, Paul was being careful. But why was he doing this? It's likely that Paul wanted to correct any misunderstanding that he was trying to profit personally from either his circumstances or through making Jesus known. Paul said, "Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account." Through their generosity, they were investing in their eternal lives. What we see here is that stewardship, the use of resources that God has entrusted to us, is a central part of Christian discipleship. The Philippians showed their trust in God in that they were open to sharing what they had, even if what they had was very little. What Paul opened out to them was the bigger picture. "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Paul's experience in trusting God had given him absolute confidence in the truth that God was his ultimate rock in life, not any means that he had at his disposal. That truth gave him a contentment both in the good and the bad times. God was his strength. From that truth alone, he could declare to his friends that God would meet all their needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God will meet all their needs, all our needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Yesterday, millions upon millions watched the coronation of King Charles III. With gold carriages, crowns, and shouts of acclamation. By contrast, Jesus of Nazareth's coronation was quite different. Rather than a crown of gold, he wore a crown of thorns. Rather than "God save the king," they shouted, "Crucify him." King Charles is understandably rich in a worldly way. King Jesus wasn't. Instead, we see from Paul's words that it's the followers of Jesus who are the rich ones, not necessarily in material wealth, but in spiritual wealth. While our postcodes might be the same as Windsor Castle's, where the king lives at times now, if we've given our lives to Jesus, our eternal homes will still share the same postcode as our king, the King of Kings, King Jesus, the King of the Kingdom of God. To get there, we all need to travel through King's Cross to later arrive in heaven. The true measure of what God gave to enable that to happen shows the extent of his riches. Not wealth of the world, but the never-ending kingdom of God. This was the truth that the Philippians were growing in as they shone by their sacrificial giving. And it's the truth that you and I can continue to grow in today. First and foremost, Paul was most grateful for his friend's offering, not because of his gain, but because their generosity was another step in their journey towards Christlikeness. Seeing a potential need to help make Jesus known, God's people stepped forwards. It's been absolutely amazing to see how we've grown as a church over this last year. Thank you so much to so many who give so freely of their time and or money as we've stepped forwards in service as God's people. So many are generous with their use of time and their donations to support so many different ministries, which enables the church to do the things that it does. And that is the reason why we're here, to worship Jesus and to make Jesus known. That's the reason we do everything we do. Everything that we say yes to, every step we take in activities, through our worship, is all to make Jesus known. And to that end, everything that we do, such as turning the lights on, goes to support that call to make disciples. Paul reminds us that when we give sacrificially in life, we can trust that he will look after us. And that includes the precious gifts, commodities of both time and money. Not just one or the other, but both. It's for each of us to freely and without guilt consider what sacrificial means. And I was having a chat with somebody yesterday about that difference between freely and guilt. God does not want to make us guilty. Even when we've done something wrong, what he calls us to is to recognize those things and to feel compelled to say sorry. There is a difference between guilt, because guilt makes us respond in a way that doesn't leave us joyful. Sometimes it leaves us with a chip on our shoulders. And so maybe in the past you've been made to feel guilty because you haven't given, because you've changed what you've given, because you've pulled back from a ministry that you've done. God does not want you to feel guilty. He says, thank you for what you've done. He says, thank you. And he wants to grow you more into his likeness through the other things that he is calling you to now. I hope that by now everyone knows that your gifts in time and money are not ultimately what is valued by you, of you in as saints of all saints. You are valued first and foremost for being you, not for what you do or for what you give. You are loved by both God and your fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus. And to that end, we don't just want to survive, but thrive together as we grow in faith. As I said before, it's so exciting to see how we're growing as a church. The number of people coming to worship regularly has increased by about a third this year. And what's even more amazing than that is that as each person comes, as they are, I sense and have shared with many of you that that is a response to a call to a new season of church life. God has a plan for us. You are part of that plan. And you are here for a reason. And if we say yes to Jesus, then we will see him doing even more amazing things than we've seen him do already. And we can give thanks for so many different things. Our youth and children's life groups have grown, as have our opportunities to interact with many communities in the local area, through the local communities we serve, but also groups that come here and use this building every day of the week. Our kids have gone out to Tesco's and they've prayed with people outside the shop. How amazing is that? How secure must they feel here amongst their church family to be willing to go out and to share Jesus openly with people that they don't know? That's something we can say thanks to God for. People came along, as many adults as kids, to share sweets during Halloween with people that walked past. Maybe it would be good to employ a youth worker or someone that could support those ministries. Because friends, our leaders that are currently out at the moment do so much to support, and others that are here that also support in that, both in GAP that happens on a Monday and other groups. But those leaders are really, really busy. We're thankful for that, but we want to support those ministries more, to see them grow further. I was in a church once where there were no babies, no young children. And we were talking about the fact that it was one area of the generations in the church that wasn't represented. And so the vicar said, well, let's start a toddler group then. And so me and a couple of others looked at him as if he was mad. What do you mean, a toddler group? We haven't got any toddlers. He said, let's just open a toddler group. Let's put toddler stuff out. And we did it. And you know, within a few months, that room was full up with children on Sunday mornings. Because we provided the ability for that area to grow. And that's why we have thriving, and I'm not saying this boastfully, that's why we have thriving children's and youth work, because we have provided those ministries. And so we're growing in discipleship together in these different ways, in our fellowship, in life groups. And whilst we still need volunteers in many of these key areas, new people are feeling called to serve in those ministries and are exploring them. So if you feel called to a ministry, then share it. Discuss it with one of the leaders in the kids groups, maybe with Sue or with Michael, with John if it's music, all these different areas. Let's grow in faith. And maybe it's even something you've never, ever thought about before, but God is saying to you, what about that? He will give you the gifts. David was a shepherd. He became a king. God gave him the gifts he needed, and he'll do that for you too. We're also excited, aren't we, about the Wingroves coming in a couple of months' time as he becomes our curate. And this week we had an agreement with Windsor Girls School for a chaplaincy to start, serving the school and the wider community, which we're so thankful for, and also to say thank you to Lisa for her involvement in that as well. We've got really great relationships with our five schools in the parish. And as mentioned before, we've got GAP, which happens on a Monday, and a community that are taking responsibility for each other as they grow together in faith. We're also excited about the possibility of an All Generations Summer Celebration Week in August, which we're praying about. We had hoped to get a sandpit, but we found it would cost £7,200 for 1 week. And then very helpfully, somebody said in the conversation we were having last week, they said, oh, well, there's the Pirate Park that's got some sand as well. So we can maybe go down there. But that will be an all generations thing. The other possibility is that we'd love to redesign the front here. We've got a cafe through there that faces onto a car park. We've got an area here that faces out onto the road. Wouldn't it be fantastic to completely take out the toilets, the kitchen, that area around the whole side, maybe even build something on the front that sits a cafe out onto the front where the road is in that whole area, where we could welcome people in of all age groups, where we could bring kids in with their homework, where we could site a Mr. Whippy machine inside a new kitchen, where we could serve ice cream sundaes all day long and not need to get an ice cream van once a year for 500 quid. Not because that will provide us with finances, but because it will grow people in faith. So, where are we at the moment in this? Because to do all of those things, what we need to do as God's church, called here for this season in this church's life, is to say yes to our Lord. It will take a sacrificial step of faith from all of us, but this is such a pivotal step and moment for each of us, where we will see God moving in amazing ways. I am firmly, as I say, of the opinion that He has brought you right here, right now, for a reason. Whether you've been here for 50 years before, or whether this is the first week that you've walked through the door. And He has already given us a glimpse of what will come, hasn't He? Hasn't He? The reason you're here today is not because you just want to come to a social club. It's because when we're together as family, we sense the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We sense God changing us and transforming us. And because that's why we were built in the way we were, to worship God. And so, completely to bring this to a place now where we reflect on the practicalities of that. The church needs to respond. I was speaking to a church leader this week who was telling me that the church that he serves in has a £40,000 deficit. They have quite a lot of staff in their church. We as a church this year have a £17,000 deficit. And I think that could have been significantly more had a lot not already been done by a significant number of people in what they do in serving, but also in respect to doing things like change the lighting to LED lighting. So we're very thankful to Peter and the fabric team for all they've done there. But we're also very thankful to Paul, who is our treasurer, who's going to come up now. We're just going to reflect and talk just a bit about the practicalities. You should have received a envelope. If for some reason there's a complication with that today, I'm really sorry. And if you're visiting for the first time, please don't feel any compulsion. You've turned up on the wrong week. You turned on the right week. It's definitely the right week. But in fact, you know, when I first went to our church in Maidenhead, we turned up on the week where finance was discussed. And do you know what? I felt I knew the church better than had I just gone to a service that week. So, Paul, thank you very much. So people have got packs. Should we just talk about what's in the packs first?
Yeah. So there's various ways to give to the church. What we'd love to do is to receive regular gifts to the church. The easiest way for the church is through the parish giving scheme. So this is run by the Church of England. Money is received into our accounts each week. But more importantly, they claim gift tax aid on our behalf. So as well as your gift, we also get the gift aid tax. So that's the parish giving scheme. If you point your phones at the barcode, it'll take you to the relevant bit in the site. If you're not online, there's a manual gift form to complete and hand back into the church, and then we'll get that set up for you.
And there are two other things, aren't there, within it? So you've got the letter that will give you just a bit of an overview as to where things are and some of the stuff that I've already opened out. And then after that, you've got a confidential response form, which we're asking that if it's possible to hand back on or before the 21st of May. The reason for that is that we want to have an opportunity for a gathering on the 21st of May that is a Thanksgiving service for all that God is doing. And I know we do that every week, but just to have an opportunity to maybe put a couple of buckets around where people can put their form in as part of their act of worship. So Paul, should we just talk through that form first?
So the form allows you to tick how you would like to give, and I know that very many of you here today already give regularly. As Paul says, we've got a £17,000 deficit this year. There's around 110 people on electoral roll. If everyone were to give an extra £15 a month, we're not talking about huge sums. And I appreciate this year is very difficult.
But I think the other thing to say on that is that whilst that is the case, there are going to be some people that need to revise down their giving because their situation may be that they are already giving significantly, but that feel that that is really impossible to do. So, you know, it's that whole measure. There will be a vast array of different responses, won't there, within this? So, thank you.
So included in the pack is the parish giving form or a standing order mandate. Also, details of exactly how we're spending the money that we do receive.
Yeah.
So
that's on this pie chart, isn't it? So this pie chart, you can probably see the big blue bit there. Anyone want to guess what that is? Parish share. Yes, it is 75% of all that we that we receive goes to pay for the parish share, and that 25% goes to pay for every other aspect of ministry that we do in making Jesus known. Now you might be thinking, well, that's ridiculous, but actually, Paul, do you want to just open out some of the things that the parish share goes to?
So we benefit a lot from resources that the diocese offer, like safeguarding training, lots of materials, lots of resources for me as a treasurer. But obviously it also pays for our vicar and the housing for our vicar. So we're actually a net beneficiary. So although it seems like a lot, we would be paying a lot more if it wasn't for the diocese. And we're contributing to the parish share, but we certainly receive a lot more than we're putting in.
And we will also be receiving more than most parishes, because with Adam coming along, he's involved. Now, don't forget that all of this amount here involves training. So Adam's been in training at Trinity for 3 years. The diocese has paid for that and for his training, paid for my training, and for the housing over 3 years. I mean, it's a significant amount, which is why the costs are expensive. One of the things that I've noticed in with Oxford Diocese is it isn't a case that money is wasted. It's used carefully. And there are also aspects where the diocese will give towards funding. So for example, if we do something out the front, there's a diocesan development fund that we can look towards having match funding at least and support for in developing. So lots of opportunities that give the benefits of being part of the wider diocese, aren't there?
Yep.
So are there any other things that you think it's important for us to know at the moment then?
No, if people could perhaps read the literature and then giving their forms for next Sunday.
So next Sunday we've got the APCN, and then after that we're going to have our Thanksgiving Sunday. Yes, Carol. Yeah, please do.
It's not the only way. So I can claim, and I do submit a claim each year. PGS is just easy because they do it on our behalf, but I will do a manual claim each year. So as long as I've got a gift aid form from everyone, and I have from you, Carolina, then I can make a manual claim. It's not the only way. Yeah.
And if you are a higher rate taxpayer, you can also claim back your giving to the 40% as well. So don't miss out on that opportunity. But there are lots of opportunities there to reflect on things, to prayerfully think about what God might be calling you to. But are there any other questions that people have? We've got opportunities to reflect on them later, but any immediate things that anyone's got to ask? The thing to also think about is the 17,000 is to meet our costs currently.
Just our overheads.
Yeah. What we want to do is to go even further. So let's just be praying for each other that God would speak to us and give us wisdom in what we're doing. One of the things that I've been thinking about recently, I mean, Cherie's just started a new job, but one of the things that I've been thinking about is looking generally at all of those things that go out every month, that where, you know, there are some things we've done, like a small newspaper for the kids, which comes to about £75 a month, a year, and I think, actually, that isn't even read by Charlotte, so why are we continuing with that, you know? And I wouldn't really notice if that was taken, if we stopped that and then put that into the church fund. So those sorts of things, God will give us a way to review stuff. So thank you very much, Paul. Can we just pray for you? I know we did it before, but doing it twice is all right. So, yeah. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Paul and for all he does in looking after the finances of the church. We thank you so much for this opportunity to reflect on this part of our response to faith. And Lord, we pray for wisdom for Paul and discernment. Thank you for the gifts that you've given him, and we pray that you would bless him. And Lord, for ourselves, we pray, come Holy Spirit, with all the different feelings and thoughts that we've got going around in our minds. We thank you first and foremost that it isn't for what we give, but for who we are in you, Lord, that you love us. And help us, Lord, in those times where we feel different emotions, just to know that we are loved first and foremost by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Can I just also encourage you, if you've got any questions or thoughts, please, however you're feeling, if you're not happy about something, I'd really love the opportunity to have a chat with you about it if you'd like, as Paul and the other members of the PCC. If you're a member of the PCC, can you just raise your hand for me, please? So take a look around the room. These people on the PCC, these are the trustees of the church charity. Please have a chat with anybody, any one of those people. As well, if you like, just about any of these issues, and it'd be great to grow together. And shall we respond, Carolyn, with some worship? Let's stand, shall we?
Yeah, let's just draw our thoughts back to the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, that you're so good in your gifts to us and in the way you provide for us in every way. And we want to offer you ourselves today, just as we are. As an offering of praise to you.